Have you ever heard of a paradigm shift? Paradigm is a way of looking at reality, a way of organizing what we think to be true into a meaningful pattern. And a paradigm shift is when that view of reality either falls apart or becomes drastically altered. An example of this might be when people realize that the world was not indeed flat, and that the earth was not the center of the universe. One day, people thought that the sun revolved around the earth. And then they learned that the earth revolved around the sun. Scientifically, at least, nothing was ever the same. That is a paradigm shift. Now, Stephen Covey, the author of The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, has another illustration of a paradigm shift. He tells this story. He was traveling in New York City on the subway back to his hotel. And at one of the stops, a man with four small children got on the train. And the man sat down next to Covey. And as the train began to move, the four children went wild. One of the children grabbed a newspaper out of the hands of another passenger. Another child knocked a sack of groceries out of an older woman's lap. And running up and down the aisle, the children had the whole car in chaos. Now, Covey looked at the father sitting next to him, probably thinking that the children were doomed to lives of criminal behavior. But the man did nothing. No discipline, no involvement. And eventually, Covey said to him, "Don't you think you ought to do something about your children? They're disturbing everyone in the train." And the father turned to him with a blank stare and said in a distracted tone, "I guess I don't know what to do. We've just come from the hospital. My wife, their mother, died about an hour ago. And I guess I'm in shock." Now, at that moment, everything looked different. Everything that Covey thought was true about the man and his children had to be reevaluated in light of this new information. This is what a paradigm shift looks like. You know, it can be very frustrating when we think we know something or that we understand something, and it turns out we don't. It can be profoundly upsetting to think the world runs one way only to find out that it doesn't run that way at all. Now, Covey thought that the father of those children was passive and unconcerned. And when he heard that the man had just lost his wife, his view of the situation changed. And this new reality called for new behavior. Now, in the Gospel this morning, John the Baptist, the premier saint of Advent, is in a similar situation. There's no doubt that John was a charismatic and powerful figure. He plays a huge part in the Gospels and in salvation history. And in fact, John's notoriety became a problem for the early church. Well into the first century, there were those that believed that John, not Jesus, was the Messiah. Even to this day, There's a small sect in northern Iraq called the Mandeans who hold that John is the chosen one. And John did fit the paradigm of what many people believe about the Messiah. He was mysterious. He was ascetic. He shunned worldly ways and comforts. He was a mighty prophet with powerful proclamations about justice and fiery sermons about spiritual integrity. He was out baptizing and calling his followers to repent and prepare for the coming reign of God. And not only that, but his timing fit into the paradigm of the Messiah. His ministry took place at a time when the Jewish people expected the Messiah to appear. They were chafing under Roman rule. Their king, Herod, was but a Roman puppet. And the time was right. Expectations were high. And it was widely believed that the Messiah would appear like John and make all of this right. So into this volatile mix steps John. His message of judgment and repentance struck a chord with the people. His announcement that the kingdom of God was at hand, combined with his call that people be baptized in preparation for God's reign, drew huge crowds. And given his charismatic presence and his numerical success, it was very easy to see how John might be the Messiah. But John was not the Messiah. He had a role to play, but he was just a player and not the main character. "The one coming after me," he says, "is mightier than I. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the latchet of his sandals." And he said other things too that ought to have made it clear that he was not the promised one. When pressed about his baptism, John said, "My baptism is but with water, but the one who is coming will baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit." And they asked him directly, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? What do you say about yourself?" Into whatever possible pigeonhole the priests and Levites try to fit John, he will not go. He clearly states who he is and who he is not. "I am not the Christ." Now, the entry of Jesus into history is without doubt the most seismic paradigm shift of all time. Just about everything that mankind has believed about God, about humanity, about the world, has undergone tremendous transformation in the light of Jesus. In fact, Jesus was so completely different from what anyone thought the Messiah would be like that even John got confused. Later in the Gospel, we read that while in prison, John sent word to Jesus wanting to know if indeed he really was the one that everyone had been waiting for. But John's mission and ministry was to prepare his followers for this powerful shift of perspective. His task was to make straight the way of the Lord, to urge the people to get ready. John was to pave the way by preaching repentance, sorrow for sin, amendment of life, symbolized by ritual washing. He preached a clear path and gave clear warnings. Now, we're still in Advent. It's not Christmas yet. But our Advent journey is moving toward a climax. And the time is coming when the church will once again celebrate the arrival of the Christ. But I wonder, are we ready? And here are some questions that have been rolling around in my brain this week. Jesus the Messiah is coming, but I wonder, are we still latched on to some other Messiah, holding stubbornly to some other paradigm of spiritual reality? Do we trust in wealth, health, relationships, power, armies, good reputation to make our lives rich and full? I wonder. Christ, our fulfillment, is coming, but is our attachment and commitment to other things causing us to miss the mark? Are we following inferior ways or even false realities, hoping that those will fulfill us? Only God, you know, can fill the God-shaped hole in our middle. Christ, God's greatest gift, is coming. But are we prepared to receive it? Have we turned from darkness towards his marvelous light? If not, we're like Covey and the children on the train. We need to learn the difference between apathy and shock. Because if we don't, we might find ourselves giving loyalty and allegiance where none is due. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is coming. But have we forgiven the sins of others? You know, every time we say the Our Father, we pray for our own damnation, don't we? Forgive us our sins exactly as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Have we forgiven ourselves? Jesus comes to restore our broken lives, to free us from deceit, to correct our bad choices, and to forgive our failures. He wants us free to serve and worship him, and we cannot do that if we are shackled by guilt. Here's the big question that ties all these into one. What false paradigms are we committed to? What is it that we have believed to be one thing when in fact it is something else? You know, John makes it all so clear. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The time for Christmas is drawing near. Are we ready?